Thank you very much. Now you can go back to sleep. No, I certainly hope you don't this morning. We appreciate all of you that are here this morning, and what a great song that really is. It's one we rarely ever sing, but it is truly a great song. And it has great implications within that song because all of us have been in storms. Our life has been a storm on many occasions. And there are times, no doubt, when we felt that we were out on the sea of life and we were actually weathering the storms of life. We were. But how can I survive those storms? That's a good question, isn't it? You and I face them every day. They are going to come. Quite often we hear about storms that emerge out in the Gulf or perhaps maybe out in the Atlantic, and they make their way to the continental United States of America, and sometimes people are real apprehensive about those storms. Sometimes they come from the west. We have a lot of rain that's going to be moving in from the northwest this week. But we have a lot of storms that actually come. But how can I deal with them? Storms come from all different directions in life. You know, you and I are not the only ones that face storms. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, we read of an occasion where Jesus was out on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. And so I want to read this account as it comes up here in verse 35. The Bible says, "In the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us go over to the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waters beat against the ship and even into it, that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have not little faith, but no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, Jesus and his disciples faced a stormy sea. They did. Can you kind of imagine or get the picture in your mind of Jesus out on that tumultuous sea? Can you get the idea that Jesus and the disciples were rocking back and forth upon that water? But when Jesus came to the front of that ship and he spoke, there was calm. It was as calm, maybe like you'd see on a pond on a sunny summer day. You and I all face stormy days and nights. The waters of our life rumble. And sometimes it's extremely difficult to deal with. The lightning comes. It does. And the storms of life will emerge. They will come. And as I said, they come in different directions in life. They do. Many of them do. In different forms. Sometimes people talk about their storm, but they come in different types and different ways. Sometimes it may be a stormy marriage. I hear people talk about it all the time. We have a stormy marriage, but will your storm build or will it break your marriage? Sometimes it comes with our finances. It does. Are you prepared for a storm financially? It may come. Sometimes it comes in the form of physical illness. Sometimes people get sick. And sometimes they get sick real quick. Sometimes with maladies and illnesses that we would never ever suspect in our life. And it's like a storm that emerges so quickly and we don't know what to do. Sometimes people face emotional storms in life. It could be anger, could be resentment, self-pity, could be jealousy, could be worry, fear, or perhaps any number of things. Do you know that sometimes there is that storm that we call the storm of grief? And it invades the homes of all of us. We might lose a loved one in death. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you dealing with grief and depression in your life? Has your storm come? It may have, and you may not know exactly how to deal with it. Well, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about what this song actually has to say. We have to work at overcoming our storms. We do. Because, as I said, we will all have them. They are going to come. And as that song suggests, will your anchor hold when they come? Will it? That's a real question that all of us have to deal with every day. Is my anchor secure? Is it? In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, which hope you and I have, the relationship that we have with God, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. How strong is your anchor this morning? The book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 also states, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs the promise, listen to this, the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. My anchor is strong, and my anchor will hold this morning because God cannot lie. In James 1, verse 2 through 4. James writes and says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. One thing that I have observed and learned in life is that God will give us peace and help us through the storms that we face in life. For the book of Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. You know what he's really talking about? He's talking about your anchor. Are you anchored to God? Is your mind really stayed upon him? It should be. Now the song suggests a number of things that I want to talk to you about briefly this morning. The song says, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, the wings of strife will come. And they came in the life of a lot of folks. They do. Those storms emerge very quickly. And that's the way it is with our life, isn't it? There was probably no one in all of history who encountered a greater storm in the Old Testament than that man that we know simply as Job. We don't know his last name. We know him as Job. But in the book of Job 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. No one faced a more stormy life than did this man. You know, when I begin to think sometimes of problems and the little things that come my way, you know what? I'm reminded every day to stop and think about Job of old. I begin to realize that there are so many people in this world who are so much worse off. Who was the man that said, I thought I had it bad because I had no shoes until I met the man who had no feet. It is true in life. The song says, the strong tides come, the cable strain. Listen to Psalms 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. You know, when that storm comes, and a lot of people lean upon other people, they lean upon a lot of things in life. But sometimes they lean on the wrong one, and the right one is God Himself. For Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, when you're feeling burdened, listen to this, he says, set your minds on things that are above and not on the things of this earth. Where is your mind this morning? If you're going through a storm this morning, let me ask you that question. Where is your mind? The song asks the question, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what? If God is your anchor, you can rest assured that he will never leave you. Sometimes people go through problems in life and they cry out and they say, well, God, where are you? Or why did you allow this to happen to me? And we begin to lament the fact that we're going through difficulty in our life. We all do. Storms come, but storms go. But we have to hold on to the one who will get us through the storm. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, the scripture says, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. There are many people that will tell you today that if God really loves you, why did your God allow that to happen to you? They speak of things they do not understand. They don't. Problems will come. But the song asks the question, are you safely moored? Are you safely moored? What about your spiritual ship this morning? What about yours? Are you secure by the Savior's hand? In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 9, the Bible says, humble yourselves, listen to this, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting, he says, all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, I don't understand how people go through life without our Father in heaven. I'm serious in telling you that. I don't understand how they make it without God. Sometimes people just start drifting aimlessly upon the sea of life simply because they have no anchor to hold them secure in the harbor where they need to be. Are you secure by the mighty hand of God this morning? But the song says, did the cables pass from your heart or from his heart to yours? You know, Jesus, you know what he did? He threw out the lifeline to us when we were drifting and we were out on that sea. Now, Jesus could just speak a word to us and calm our heart. But he threw out the lifeline to us in giving us his word. For in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul writes and says of himself, and he said unto me that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he says, most gladly therefore will I take glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen to what Paul said. What he says, I'm not quite sure that many of us could say this morning, that I will glory in my infirmities. That is, whatever I have to face in life, I'm going to take glory in it, in knowing that God allowed it and he brought it into my life for a purpose. And I will gladly, therefore, rejoice. Someone said it was character that got us out of bed, and commitment that moved us into action. But it is discipline that enables us to follow through. And it is true, isn't it? The song says, can defy the blast through divine strength. You know, without the strength that comes from God, we'd be hopeless. Most about everybody in this audience this morning could truthfully say there are times when God got you through your storm. And you didn't think He would at the moment you were going through it. But He did. David in Psalms 59 and verse 9 says, "You are my strength. I watch for you. You, God, are my fortress." And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, John writes, "I know thy works," Jesus speaking. "Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and you've not denied my name. And behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." You know, sometimes our storm may not be with physical illness. It may not be with grief over the loss of a loved one. It may not be emotional. It may not be financial. It may not be physical. It may be a storm that is emerging between you and someone else. Could be a friend. Could be a church member. And we realize that God is the only one who can give us the strength to deal with it. The song says that it can defy the blast through that divine strength. In Psalm 73, in verse 26, again, King David in the Old Testament wrote these words. He says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." What David is saying is, my God will get me through it. He will see me through it. He was like Paul in the New Testament, who said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, the word says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all of the world, to try them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown." You see, John is saying, don't let anyone steal your salvation. You can give it up, but you hold on to it. God will give you the strength that you need. The song says, "When our eyes behold the city of God." You know, heaven is called a number of things. It's called the city that lies four square. It's referred to as the eternal abode. But it is also referred to as the city of God. For John writes in Revelation 21, verse 2 through 4, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and he will be their God. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for all those former things are passed away." And the real climax of this song comes with these words in that last verse, "With the storms all past forevermore." You know, someday the storms that we face in life, regardless of where they are and what they are and how intense they may be, will all be over. For Revelation 22, verse 3 and 6, or verse 6 through 6 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, no need for candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. The great light is Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Do you realize that he is the only hope that we really have? He is. He is that Lamb of God. He is. I like the words of John 1 in verse 29. It says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Do you know that Lamb, Jesus Christ, wants to control two things? Your mind. Listen to that. And your heart. When I read the book of Matthew 22, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus who said that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. You see, Jesus wants your heart. He wants your mind. He doesn't want you to just be turned on emotionally and disregard him when you walk out of the building. He doesn't just want you to be turned on mentally without ever experiencing the emotion that anyone ought to experience when they think about the Lamb of God dying on the cross for our sins. But he wants our mind. In our heart. And incidentally, the Bible says of those who give their heart and their mind to God, in Revelation 22 and verse 6, and they shall reign forever and forever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Someday you will rise from the dead. You will. And you'll be hurled into an eternity. You don't understand what it's like. I don't understand exactly what eternal things are really like. But one of these days you're going to rise from the grave. And you will go into the vastness of an eternity with God. You will. Will it be with God in heaven? Or will it be in hell? Let me tell you something. When I think about the anchor of life being Jesus, you don't drift into heaven. You don't. You won't drift into heaven, but many will drift into hell. They will. That's how they got there. No one intentionally wants to go to hell. No one really works or puts out effort to be lost in a devil's hell. But many will drift there. You don't drift into heaven. You get there because you made Jesus your anchor. This song implies throughout it that the judgment seat of Christ is coming. It is. It is coming. Are you ready? Are you still drifting? Perhaps if the truth were known this morning, some in this audience are drifting. You are. You're on a big sea of life. And you're just drifting along without an anchor. You are. Have you confessed Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord? Have you? Some have. Some have made Jesus their anchor. But the question for you this morning is, have you made him your Lord? Are you ready to meet God in that hour of judgment? Or are you still drifting? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sin? You see, after this life, there's a real important question to ask you this morning. After this life, where will you spend eternity? Now, whether you acknowledge it or whether you believe it or not, you're going to be in that eternal realm. You're either going to be in heaven with God, or you're going to be in hell. That's a tough question sometimes for people to deal with. But it's one that we have to deal with. And it's one that everyone should deal with in life. When I think about people that have Jesus as their anchor, I think about people that, because they're anchored to Christ, they're serving God. They're working for the Master. We don't work our way to heaven, but we work because we love God. You know, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you are saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." But in verse 10, he says that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We don't work to be saved, but we're saved to work. And a lot of people have never realized that, and they've never made Christ their anchor. Someone wrote this poem. "Once upon a pew I sat and heard the preacher ask, 'We need someone to teach a class. Now who will take this task?' Then God sat down beside me there and said, 'Son, why, that's for you. But Lord, to stand before a class is one thing I just can't do. Now Joe would be the man to call. There's nothing he won't do. I'd rather hear the lesson taught from here upon my pew. Once upon a pew I sat and heard the preacher ask, 'We need someone to lead the songs. Now who will assume this task?' Then God sat down beside me there and said, 'Son, that's for you. But Lord, to sing before a crowd, why, it's one thing I can't do. Now Brother Smith will do the job. There's nothing he won't do. I'd rather hear the church sing from here upon my pew. Once upon a pew, I said, and heard the preacher ask, I need someone to keep the door. Now who will take that task? Then God sat down beside me there and said, 'Son, that's for you.' But dear God, saying things to strangers, why, Lord, that's just one thing I can't do. Now John can talk to people, Lord. There's nothing he won't do. I'd rather someone come to me and greet me on the pew. As years just seemed to pass me by, I heard that voice no more. Until one night, I closed my eyes and awoke on heaven's shore. 'Twas four of us gathered there to face eternity. And God said, I just need three of you to do a job for me. Oh, Lord, I cried, I'll do the job. Why, there's nothing I won't do. But Jesus said, I'm sorry, friend. In heaven, there is no pew. Being anchored to Christ and being a servant of the Lord is what God has called us to do. I hope this morning that you're anchored to Christ. And you know what? If you're anchored to Christ, you'll be serving Him. You will. But if you're not, you'll hopelessly and helplessly drift on this sea of life and never arrive where you want to be. So this morning, if you're not a Christian, we're going to sing a song of encouragement that Dwight has selected. And if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're still wandering out there on the sea, I challenge you this morning to put your ship in harbor and let God lead you to where you need to be this morning. Allow yourself to be directed by this word that I have given to you this morning. And if you're a Christian and you know that your ship is still out there on the sea drifting because you don't have an anchor this morning, let Christ be your anchor and come to Him for forgiveness and an acknowledgement of your sin while we stand together and while we sing.